Money is the wrong focus. The making money needs to be a byproduct of doing things that actually improve the society. So think of making money like having an orgasm. You, if you focus on it, you're never going to get it.
Right,
so
right,
just
right.
Enjoy the process of doing it. And if you enjoy the process, everything falls in place. To me, the best way to find out what you truly care about is to find what is it that you're willing to die for and then live every minute of your life for it. If you had everything in life that you want, you know, money that you want, the family that you want, the life you want, what would you be doing? And if you do that today, you will get everything that you want in your life. So it has to start with a purpose. What is your massively transformative purpose? What is it that you care enough about that you're willing to give your last drop of blood to make that happen?
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers, what is going on, everyone, ladies and gentlemen? So excited to be doing an episode just like this for each and every single one of you. I appreciate all of you for being here. Immense gratitude. You know, when I started this podcast a couple years ago, I would have never thought in a million years that we would start developing this pattern of interviewing not just game changers and industry leaders, but now billionaires. And today's episode is no different. You probably noticed from the title, you know, how to become a billionaire, how to think like a billionaire. And it's absolutely amazing, this episode that I'm about to share with you. And it's an episode I did with a new friend, a new mentor of mine, Naveen Jain. And you're going to hear all about him if you don't know who he is. But we talk about exponential technologies. We talk about disruption of what's happening, what's going to happen in the next 15, 20, 50 years in education, in health. You know, we spent a huge part of the episode talking about gut health, and there's something really, really cool that we decided to put together that you guys will hear probably in the mid-episode and maybe at the end again. We talked about how he has a company that essentially is harvesting raw materials from the moon. But above all of the kind of cool one-liner accolades that I can throw Naveen's way or this episode, the most important thing about this episode is, yes, gut health, yes, education, yes, you know, all the changes and technological advancement and all the things to be excited about. But the most important thing to me is starting to think at a higher level, starting to believe and starting to view the world as if you're impacting a billion people. I know a lot of people that are listening to the show, they want to figure out how they can impact those closest to them. They want to figure out how to impact their communities. This episode will force you to play at a bigger level. So I warn you, and this is fair warning, okay? If you listen to this episode, you will start looking at everything you do and you will start realizing that you are playing small. And it's the truth. It's not to say that you're not doing amazing. It's not to say that you're not helping people, but it really forced me on a personal level to look at my stuff and say, how can I serve at a deeper level? What it is that I need to do? What am I scared of doing so that I need to go through those things so that I can create the deepest and biggest impact with my work? And it's not even, I'm not even close yet. Like, what you are all seeing is like scratching the surface. I don't even know if I've started, to be honest with you. And so that's the power of being around other people that are elevating your thinking. Obviously, you know, multimillionaires, billionaires, and potentially the world's first trillionaire, that definitely helps as well. So I hope you guys get tons of value from this episode. I know you will. There's so many different things that we talked about, but really think about that. Think about how it's going to help you perform and impact, use your gifts at the highest, highest level. And let me know. Let me know through social. Let me know. Let me and Naveen know, because we, you know, do this every single week, and we want to be able to push you to not just up your game in business. That's one thing. That's the, you know, we do tons of tactical stuff, but how do you think and operate at a completely different level? How do you begin to craft a legacy? That is what this show is about. We are more demanding. We require a little more work. There's more responsibility on each of us. And I can't wait for you guys to digest this episode and let us know. So if you're getting value out of this, please, please, please leave us an amazing review on any of the channels that you're listening to this on. I would deeply, deeply appreciate it. And I'll check in with you guys in the middle of the episode and a little bit at the end as well. So no more delays. Here's the episode with my man, Naveen Jain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another interview at the Inner Changemaker. Every single week, we try to bring you the most interesting humans that I can possibly get connected to, that I can find, that they are literally shaping not just their business, but literally moving and shaking this world. And today we have no other than Naveen Jain. For those of you that do not know who he is a business executive, billionaire entrepreneur, philanthropist, and former CEO and founder of InfoSpace. He's also the co-founder of a company called Moon Express, which we are definitely going to talk about, because they are one of the only companies that are able to go to the, they're building rockets and spaceships to the moon so that they can harvest precious metals from the moon's surface. And infamously, Naveen is known and projected to be one of the first trillionaires on this planet. Mr. Naveen Jain, welcome to the Inner Changemaker.
Well, thank you, Jay. That's a very kind introduction, but let's not focus on money here. Let's focus on ideas.
Yeah, I love that about you, because you have such, even when we were discussing a bit off record, you know, you have such a way of communicating that really, I think, grips a lot of people right from the beginning, from your tonality. But, you know, you're in a super rare category on its own. So like, I just want to hear it from your perspective. You know, you're considered one of the most forward-thinking, you know, billionaires, you know, on the planet. And, you know, I just want to see, like, how does it feel for you to get so many of the accolades, so many of the things coming back to you, to be a billionaire, but to still be striving to make a better world?
So from my perspective, you know, I measure my success in a simple way, the same way I tell our children. You know, our success will never be measured by how much money we have in the bank. It will always be measured by how many lives have we been able to improve while we're still alive. Yeah. You know, your self-worth, our self-worth is not based on what we own. Our self-worth comes from what we create. So if we haven't created anything, then we're still a parasite on humanity. So our job is to go out and do things that makes people's lives better. And I'm not suggesting that go do the things as a nonprofit. I believe if you want to do a small good in the world, then you do a nonprofit company. But if you want to do a large good in the world, you want to create for-profit companies, because profit is the engine that allows you to scale. It allows you to help more people. Because even if you're the richest man in the world, if you're not making money, then you, sooner or later, you're going to run out of money before you can help enough people, right? Yeah. So never be ashamed to say the things that you do actually make money, because that says that you are on a purpose that is going to go out and help billions of people around the world. So doing good and doing well are not mutually exclusive. As a matter of fact, the only way to do well is to do good, and the only way to do good is to do well.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, Naveen, I don't know if you know this, but one of the overriding themes of the show ever since I've had it the last couple of years has always been this idea of legacy over currency. Right. Yeah. And it sounds really good. And a lot of people have come on, people have shared about it. But I know that, you know, I had Grant Cardone, yes, who I know you recently did the Power Players thing with him. And he came on. He goes, Jay, what are you talking about? Legacy over currency. Right. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you need both. You need currency to build to the legacy. right? And you need to be thinking about it in different ways. So I love that you bring that up, that you need to actually create.
Except that I really believe the focus on money is the wrong focus. The making money needs to be a byproduct of doing things that actually improve the society. So think of making money like having an orgasm. If you focus on it, you're never going to get it.
Enjoy
the process of doing it. And if you enjoy the process, everything falls in place. To me, the best way to find out what you truly care about is to find what is it that you're willing to die for and then live every minute of your life for it. If you had everything in life that you want, money that you want, the family that you want, the life you want, what would you be doing? And if you do that today, you will get everything that you want in your life. So it has to start with a purpose. What is your massively transformative purpose? What is it that you care enough about that you're willing to give your last drop of blood to make that happen?
I love it. So Naveen, take us back a little bit, right? Because I know you come from very humble beginnings, but even for the people that have just seen you, interacted with you, heard you, they know that, you know, your ambition, the abundant mindset, that it just comes oozing out of you, right? So like, how did this journey of abundance, like how did that start for you? And did you always kind of have clarity on, you know, that purpose, that greater purpose that you would die for?
Yeah, so interesting thing is rarely in life there is a moment where your things shift. It is a continuum that over time you start to mold yourself into the direction where you start to feel that you actually can make a difference. So most of us feel that what can I do? What can, as an individual, how can I go out? I don't have money. I don't have the connections. Right. It's easy for people to say, go out and go, you know, go do these great things. How am I going to go do that? Interesting thing is the way the universe works is very interesting. It's easier to do an audacious thing than to do a smaller thing. And let me give you an example. My last venture, as I was finishing up, was the Moon Express, which, as you mentioned, is the only company in the world that has a permission to leave Earth orbit and land on the moon. And we can talk about that in a second here.
Sure.
As I was finishing up with that project, and we are getting ready to launch next year, I start thinking about what should be my next moonshot? What should I do next that is meaningful enough? And I start thinking about, should I fix healthcare? Should I look at education? It turns out that I have no background in computer science. I have no background in rocket science. I have no background in healthcare. I have no background in education. To me, it doesn't really matter. The fact you know nothing about the industry is what makes you the most dangerous person in that industry. Because once you are expert at something, you are only able to improve it incrementally. You can make it slightly better. But if you are a non-expert, you're able to challenge the foundation that experts have taken it for granted. Because what makes them expert is they have a foundational knowledge. That means they'll never be able to challenge it because then they are no expert, right?
Yeah.
So you come in from the outside and you challenge that. So as I was looking at education and healthcare, it turns out the problems were very similar in both the cases. And you would say, what is so similar about them? Interesting thing is, in both cases, the education and healthcare, people believe it's not working for them. People believe it is broken. And it turns out that neither one of them is actually broken. They're doing exactly what they were designed to do. So our education system was designed to teach you skills, and you could use your skills for the rest of your life, and you were a productive citizen of the society. So they, you know, it was created for a industrial era. That means they needed to get plug and play people. They need five accountants, 10 MBAs, seven people with the drillers, eight people with the lathe machine, and life was good. In the world of exponential technologies, it doesn't matter what you learn. By the time you graduate, that skill that you just learned is already become obsolete. So how does an education system that was designed for an era where things did not change is going to last in a world that by the time you graduate, you no longer need that? That skill is no longer valid. That means now you have to rethink the education system about how do you teach someone learning to learn? How do you teach them learning to solve interdisciplinary problems? That means you can no longer be expert in one field, but you have to be expert or at least have broad knowledge of many fields so you can use them in an interdisciplinary approach to solve a problem. How do you collaborate? Assume that every knowledge that you need is going to be at your fingertips on your cell phone. And if you had all the knowledge of the world in Google, what would you do with that? And that's a completely new way of looking at the education system. The healthcare system is exactly the same. It was designed for times where people were dying from infectious diseases. Yeah. So we came up with this acute care system. Anytime you had a problem, you went to the doctor, they gave you the medicine and life was good. Mm-hmm. Guess what's happening today? We have these chronic diseases. You're always sick. A system that was designed for episodic sickness had to deal with the chronic sickness. And the irony is that many of the cure for the infectious diseases like antibiotics mm-hmm. are largely responsible for creating these chronic diseases, right? So as I was looking at this thing, it occurred to me the problem is people are just not looking at the things correctly. While we are looking at these experts are looking at this component. I'm a heart doctor. I'm a lung doctor. Right, I'm a kidney doctor. The nature did not create us to say, you are just simply all these individual things and you put them together and you become humans.
Right.
It's a holistic system body. And every single thing you do in one part affects everything else. And the thing that, you know, not knowing much about it, I started learning. I started reading a lot. And it turns out in the last 3 to 5 years, every scientific journal I read, it clearly started telling us that every disease that we know of, every chronic disease that we know of is actually caused by the organisms that live in our gut. And you're going to say for a second, hold on for a second, what are you talking about, right?
Right.
It turns out that we are so proud of as humans, right?
Yeah.
It turns out our human DNA only produces 20,000 genes. And there are trillions, the trillions of microorganisms, these bacteria, viruses, you know, fungus, yeast, mold in our gut that produce 10 million genes. Think about 20,000 genes by our DNA and 10 million genes by them, right?
Wow.
Then I said them, right? Them.
Yeah. That's crazy.
They control every part of our body. They modify our gene expression. Uh-huh. They modify our RNA. So they control our brain. So it turns out from the Alzheimer, autism, Parkinson's, depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, cancer, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, every one of the diseases I mentioned is not only caused by the imbalance of our gut, it actually is controlled by them whether even the cure works or does not work. So a month ago, Cleveland Clinic just announced that breast cancer is caused by the microbiome, and they found the microbiome in every breast cancer tissue.
Wow.
Now, the two researchers after the study, and they published the results, that whether you do a chemotherapy, whether the chemotherapy is going to work or is actually going to kill you, depends on your microbiome. So certain microbiome may take a chemotherapy drug, turn that into toxin, poison, and it will kill you, right?
Wow.
Or immunotherapy, whether it's going to work or not work, depends on your microbiome. Mm-hmm. So imagine we have this idea that somehow our body is being controlled by all of these organisms and our healthcare system completely ignores them. You get sick, they give you antibiotics. It's like throwing a nuclear bomb inside your body. Yeah. It gets the bad guy and it gets all everybody else, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I wonder that, you know, we think this is our primary brain and our gut is our secondary brain. Remember 2000 years ago, the Hippocrates said, one man's food is another man's poison. And the second thing he said was very interesting. He said, all diseases start in the gut. Mm. Think about it for a second. All diseases start in the gut, and they knew that.
Yeah.
And our healthcare system completely ignores that. What our healthcare system is designed for is, let's take a set of symptoms, let's give them a name, and we'll call that name a disease. We'll get an insurance code for it, and the pharmaceutical company is going to come up with a drug that suppresses this symptom.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy making money, right? So the pharmaceutical companies have really become a parasite on humanity. Their whole job is to not cure any disease, but to suppress the symptom. One of the pharmaceutical company CEO once said, the best drug that we develop are the ones that people have to take for the rest of their life. Think about that for a second.
Right.
What it's saying is, the best thing we can do is to keep people sick.
Yeah. Right? Because it makes business sense.
It makes business sense,
yeah.
But it doesn't make it people sense, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the reason, Jay, I started this company called Wyome. So coming back to the question you were asking me, so I started this company called Wyome, and I said, what if sickness was optional? What if getting sick was a choice? So I said, I'm going to start this healthcare company whose purpose in life is to make getting sick a choice.
Mm.
Amazing things happen. An audacious idea, taking on a $1 trillion economy. And you would think, I have no background in medicine. How would I go about doing it?
Yeah.
And amazing things happened. When I set out that audacious goal and I say, that's what I'm going to do, I got a call from Dr. Helen Massier. She's a PhD in microbiology. She's an MD. She's working for Craig Venter on human longevity, trying to change, live people longer. She said, you know what? What's the point living long if people are going to be sick? I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to come and join you. I'm going to help you solve this problem. I got a call from the guy who is head of the IBM Watson research. And he said, you know, I've been working on artificial intelligence. I know if you can get me the data inside the body, I can tell you I can fix this problem. Then I got a call from Los Alamos National Lab, and they're saying, you know, we've been working on this biodefense technology. We can tell you exactly what's happening inside the body, every organism, what it is, how active it is, what it is doing, and it can tell you all the things. And by the way, you can do it for only a couple of $100s, not thousands of dollars.
Wow.
But guess what happened? All I did was put out this audacious goal as a magnet for people to come and be attracted for. Next thing I know, I have all these brilliant people with all the technology that I need.
Yeah.
Guess what happens now? Every venture capitalist start to call you. You have all these people working for you. What are you working on? I'm working on making illness optional. Oh, you need to take the money. We don't want to invest in it.
Right,
and the
more
you tell them you don't want the money, it's like raising a red flag in front of a bull, right?
Yeah.
You don't want the money. You must have something so important that you don't want my money. I want to give it to you. Now, my point is, suddenly with a simple thought that something could be done, not only build an amazing team, it got the money that you needed to fund the team that you wanted, right? And it starts with simple thing. You're doing something that was meaningful to people that have been successful in their life. These people have made plenty of money in their life. They're looking to do something that is meaningful. They're looking to do something that they can be proud of. Their grandkids will say, you know, my grandpa worked on solving a problem where sickness became optional, right? That is the kind of things people want to work on. And that's the reason, like in my Moon Express, people get so think this thing. Imagine when we land on the moon as a private company, not only we become the first private company, we become symbolically the fourth superpower. Only three superpowers have ever landed on the moon. Nation states are becoming irrelevant because entrepreneurs like you, Jay, and everyone listening to it, is able to do things that only the large companies and the nation states did. And here's why. The technology is coming down the price of the technology is coming down so quickly. The power of technology is going up significantly. That means a small group of people can now disrupt a taxi industry like Uber. They can disrupt a hotel industry like Airbnb. Mm-hmm. They can disrupt the real estate industry like WeWork, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
without ever having to own a thing, right? They don't own anything, right?
It's nuts.
Point is, when technology is allowing you to do things that could only be done by the government, right? Solving a healthcare problem, it is not going to be solved by Obamacare. It's not going to be solved by Trump care. It's not going to be solved by Putin care. It's going to be solved by some entrepreneur saying, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Look at energy, creating abundance of energy, clean energy. Governments have signed the Kyoto Treaty, the Paris Treaty, and, you know, probably 10 other treaties. And you know what? Nothing happens. until a guy named Elon comes along and say, you know what, screw this shit. I'm going to create an electric car. And people told him, do you know, Elon, in the last 50 years, there is not a single car company that has ever been created. And today, in 10 years, his market cap is higher than Ford, higher than GM. Right?
Yeah.
And he said, well, how are you going to get the battery? Screw that. I'm going to build the biggest battery farm. Really? So who's going to use all these batteries? I'm going to create the biggest solar thing, right? My point is, one man is went out and did something that the governments have been talking about 50 years, and they're going to be talking for the next 50 years. It takes one person with a dream to make it happen. And it's not like he was a billionaire. He became billionaire by doing it. You see what I'm saying?
That's true.
My point, he didn't have, he was actually technically close to bankruptcy, right? The day, 2 days before he was going to shut down Tesla is when he actually got the, you know, loan from the government. And look at where he is, right? So my point is, he did something not because he was rich. He did something that was meaningful, is why he became rich.
I love that connection. And by the way, I was thinking the whole time as you were talking about the gut, it really gives a new definition to, like, listen to your gut or honor your gut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your gut check, right? Your mother used to say, Jay, listen to your gut. She was the scientist.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Changemakers, Jay here. Before we dive into part two of this crazy episode, wanted to ask you a few different questions. How would you like to increase the chances of you predicting any future health complication or even preventing future health complications? How would you like to have the ability to sequence the genes and microbes in your gut to really figure out who's there, what are they doing, and what's their function? Well, if you answered yes to any of those, please keep listening. After the interview, Naveen and I actually decided to put together a specific package for every single listener of this podcast. Now, if you didn't catch that section of what he was geeking out on when he was talking about gut health, let me catch you up to speed. What's happening in your stomach can have a huge impact on what's going on in your brain. And studies have really shown that improving your gut microbiome can boost your mood and improve mental clarity. Our gut microbiome has been shown to influence things like depression, cognition, behavior, neural development. And Viome, Naveen's company, has a two-test system that tells you exactly which microbes are thriving in your gut and which areas need more support. And so ultimately, if you have a more balanced microbiome and your gut bacteria is properly doing everything that it's supposed to, your body is essentially going to be performing at optimal levels. I'm talking about being able to think faster, your metabolism working, high energy levels, clear cognition, and most importantly, improved mood and overall energy. Now, look, I know if you're listening to this show or you've been following me for any amount of time, you're into high performance. You're into optimizing yourself, your business, because you need to be that leader for everyone around you. And Viome is the only testing product that shows users the correlation between microbes and their functions with common chronic conditions so that the actionable diet, the nutrition that you actually need, and the wellness recommendations can be made. Once we heard about this, my girlfriend and I are so excited to sign up. So the way that it works is that once you register for Viome's annual plan, which by the way includes the personalized food and nutrition recommendations based on your gut intelligence and metabolic intelligence testing, what they do is that they allow you to download an app where you will see all the information, and what they do is they ship a kit out to you so that you can give them the proper samples that you did. After a few short weeks, you will have within your hands your breakdown of the microbiomes, the recommendations for not just your diet, for not just nutrition, but fitness as well. And now, look, we are not a health podcast, and I'm not a health physician. I'm not a doctor. So I can't tell you that this is going to help you diagnose or treat any disease. That's not what this service is for. Viome is meant to do a deep dive on your gut analysis, and this is is something that usually is reserved for a few thousand dollars for the ultra rich, and he's bringing it to you in an annual package that is hyper economical. So as your host, this is what I want to do. I want to invest in your health with you. So once you go to viome.com/changemaker, that is viome.com/changemaker, and get into the annual plan with my girlfriend and I, we will actually give you back a $50 rebate. That's right. I will invest in your health with you because I care. I care that you're here. I care that you're getting value, and I care that you are tuning into this every so often, every single week, every other episode. And I really appreciate you guys. And it's just my way of giving back and saying thank you. So once again, it's viome.com/changemaker, viome.com/changemaker. Send me an email of the receipt once you go through that link, and I will PayPal you. I will mail it to you. I will send it to you. We'll find a way to get it to you. $50 rebate for each changemaker that is willing to step up in their health and willing to take control of the bacteria and the microbiomes in your gut. Now, while you think about this, listen to part two of this crazy episode. Enjoy. I love what you're saying, and it's so fascinating to hear the way that you think about, you know, how to solve some of the world's greatest problems. But let me ask you this. For a lot of the people that are listening, and, you know, maybe myself included, that maybe you kind of feel like you've hit a plateau. Maybe you've kind of, you know, you've gotten some level of success, but you've hit it at a level. How do you start reframing? Because you're really great at thinking kind of outside the box, right? And bringing these people together. How do you start reframing and start thinking about developing these moonshots, developing that mission that people can actually get behind? And especially for young people that are trying to build up their brand, build up their business, building up their followers, you know, they feel like, you know, they don't have a lot of resources, right? Or they feel like they don't have a lot of, you know, money. So how is it possible to rethink the mission that you know, we're all on this planet for?
Yeah. So it's interesting thing is, when you start a company, you have to start with a simple belief. God forbid, if I'm actually successful in doing what I'm doing, right, how is it going to change a billion people's life? That means the things that am I building, if they are actually successful and they actually work the way I expect them to work, how would this business scale? What happens is, a lot of the time people start something never thinking about big, and they do something and it works, and they say, oh, it works. God, I can't believe it works. Yeah. Now what? Right? Yeah, yeah. And that's where they get stuck is, now you need to step back and say, what do I have to build that I can leverage myself? Because if I am simply using my time, then I can, doesn't matter how much money I make per hour, yeah, I'm limited that times 24. So even if I make $1,000 an hour, $10,000 an hour, I'm limited to times 24, and that's my limit. You can't do that. So the thing is, how do you leverage technology so you can leverage yourself 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, knowing that every other person doesn't have to be as good as you, even if they are 80% as good, 70% as good, but you can hire 10 of them, yeah, right? Now you're still doing so much better than you would have done on your own. So the trick is to constantly build the team, knowing that not everyone is going to be as good as you are, but the fact you are able to leverage 10 people, and if they are 70%, you still have 700 times better than you would be on your own.
And I know we were talking a bit off record about this, but this is a huge struggling point for just me personally at this stage, you know, in terms of building a team, right? And, you know, I love how you reframed it for me and said, you know, really, it's about the mission. You know, it's about, you know, what you're going out there to do so that these people could leave, you know, something good and actually join you on bettering humankind, right? And the human race.
And the idea would be, can you create, as opposed to it's becoming about you, it becomes about the purpose. So what is your massively transformative purpose? What is it that you're willing to die for? What is it that you care enough? And if that mission is broad enough that other people can sign on to, then you all come in together to create this network. So if your mission is to inspire billion people, and you say, It's just you. What if you can create a network of people? They all want to inspire a billion people and they promote each other. Suddenly everyone gets better. All the boats get lifted because they're part of the same network of lifting the things to inspire a billion people. Right?
I think it's beautiful, especially you're talking about collaboration. I love that you're talking about having that broad idea, right? I think a lot of times in online marketing and business, everyone's very focused on like, what's the niche, you know, that you're dominating, which to say you need to have that, but also from a mission statement purpose, you need to go big. You need to go, you need to make that happen.
If you have a bigger mission, you could fulfill one slice of it and other people can start filling the other slices. And that's how you create the moonshot. You can't boil the ocean, but you can start boiling the ponds at a time, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you see, I have this large mission. But can I execute slice by slice by slice and get actually the whole thing filled, right? Mm.
So Naveen, you said something that really piqued my curiosity a little while ago. You said, the education system, and the health system, they did exactly what they were designed to do, right?
Yes.
And so I think we're in this, I personally believe that we're in this time of massive change, massive evolution from not just human beings, from the genomes, the DNA, and to gut health. But I think in terms of like industries, right?
Yes.
You see this with cryptocurrency happening with the financial world.
Yes.
You said one thing. You said people now need to learn how to learn. Right?
Yes.
How to be able to decipher information, how to be able to break down knowledge, be able to do that. What do you think is maybe a skill or a couple things that people are lacking currently coming out of the current education system? They're young, they're ambitious, they got the time, they're listening to you. They're like, you know what? I want to create a moonshot. What do you think that they really need to work on that they maybe didn't get from, the traditional education system?
Yeah. So the traditional education system gives you skills. What it does not give you is intellectual curiosity. And to me, that is the key to success in life. The day you stop becoming curious is the day you actually die. Right.
Yeah.
So if you have that intellectual curiosity, then you're constantly learning, because that learning is really what allows you to grow. And that means learning to learn is simply about intellectual curiosity. Why does it work this way? Why is no one thinking about it this way, right?
Mm.
And to me, as opposed to, today's teacher, they take their students to the water and they make them drink.
Right.
And my philosophy is, what if you just simply made the students thirsty? What if you make them thirsty and the intellectual curiosity is the thirst? If you give them the thirst, guess what happens? For rest of their life, they'll be looking for water and they'll be drinking water because they're thirsty.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that to me is the lessons of life, is to constantly learning. And that's the reason, I've started 7 companies and no 2 companies are ever in the same industry. Because to me, when I go from one industry to another industry, I'm able to rethink that new industry. So it's not about thinking outside the box, it's thinking in a different box altogether. So I can move from doing the smartphones to rocket science to healthcare. I mean, imagine, I didn't even know about the human biology. And today when I talk to people, I say, oh my God, you must be a doctor, because I can tell you everything about RNA to DNA to how the genomics work, how the metabolites work, how the gene expressions work. And here, I started this company a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's called Wyome.com. And you can now buy the things today, right? As opposed to spending tens of thousands of dollars, for a couple of $100s, you can know exactly what's happening inside your gut.
Yeah.
And then we tell you what to do so you can stay healthy. So the beauty is, we change the idea of you are dumb and you have to go to a doctor, and the doctor is a sage on the stage. He's going to tell you what to do. And problem is, when you are not feeling good, you are helpless. And when you're helpless, somebody is going to victimize you, right? Our healthcare system does a great job of that. So what if we can empower each individual?
Mm.
We can give you the information you need and treat you with respect, so we can educate you what's going on and then tell you, here is what you have to do. You don't need the pharmaceutical drugs. Use the food and the nutrients to keep yourself healthy. Yeah. The only reason is you, when your gut is not in balance, guess what happens? It becomes, your body is at unease. And that unease is what we call dis-ease. Dis-ease is simply the body not being at ease.
Yeah. Right?
So what if you can get the right nutrients? So here's what I learned, Jay. There's no such thing as universal healthy diet. What's good for you is not good for me. And what's good for me today is not going to be good for me 3 months from now, because every time I change my diet, my body changes, my microbiome changes, my gene expression changes. And that means now the thing that used to be good for me, in excess, it becomes bad. That means now I'm only feeding one set of microbiome and starving the rest. And then my body is imbalanced again. So you have to keep it in balance constantly by having various types of food, understanding what's good for you, what's bad for you, right? And imagine that simple idea created this company that today we have thousands and thousands of people who are already coming in every single day and signing up and getting feeling better. So to me, there is nothing more satisfying than every time I go on a Facebook and I type Wyome and there are, you know, 100 people saying, thank you, I feel so much better. Oh my God, I have been suffering for 5 years. Thank you for making me better, right? Mm. I mean, you, there's no amount of money that can give you that pleasure.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And that is really what makes me excited.
Hey, so I'm here in Canada.
Yeah.
Am I able to get access as well? Like where can people, if my listeners are, I know tons of them are in the US, so we're obviously going to link to it in the show notes.
It's actually, you can buy them in Canada, you can buy them in US, and you can buy them in UK. So we ship them in UK, US, and Canada right now.
Yeah. No, it's, I think what you're talking about is, one, from a health perspective, it's absolutely necessary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you want to have that knowledge to yourself, but what you're really talking about is taking responsibility.
That's right. Basically, you're saying, it's my body. I am in control. I'm not going to let someone control my body and put the poison inside my body, call them pharmaceutical drugs. Every drug I take, it causes me 3 more side effects, and they have a drug for each one of them. They cause 9 more things, and by the time you get old, you're eating the set of pills for breakfast.
Yeah, no one wants that. No one wants that. And you know, on top of the health stuff, you know, you're talking about personal, like you're talking about responsibility for your curiosity. You know, don't blame the education system for where it got you, right? Like it's your responsibility to have that natural curiosity, to go out, to seek out content like this, to follow Naveen Jain. You know what I mean?
Follow you, young man, because you bring people that have something, because you do it for them. They need to be thanking you for doing the job for them. They can't, everyone listening to you can't be talking to me, but you get the chance to do that. So you have a tremendous responsibility to your audience to bring the best and the brightest, and they trust you to do that, right?
Yeah.
So you are, to a large extent, helping millions of people by using that podcast that goes out. And I know each person who's listening to it, they're going to share it with their friends and family because you brought it to them.
Yeah. And Naveen, I accept that from you. I'm really blown away. One of the things that that is so evident, it comes up a lot of times in personal development, right? Which is the conversation of scarcity versus abundance, right? And we know your viewpoints on it. But I'm kind of curious to see, I think a lot of times people think about these things as a little too woo-woo, you know, or too left field for them. They're like, I don't know about, you know, certain things of personal development. How do you think creating moonshots and having this type of abundant mindset, this abundant thinking, how does it help us become better leaders? And how does it help us in business?
So the interesting thing is, when you have this mindset of scarcity, what happens is you think that things are, the only reason things have value is because you believe they are in finite quantity. That means if I get them, other people are not going to have them, because that's the definition of finite, right? That means it is a mindset that says the things are valuable because they're only limited quantity. And then we fight over everything that we believe is in limited quantity, land, water, energy. I mean, That's what people fight over. And if you just think about it for a second, you look up in the sky, where is the scarcity of land? Just in our own solar system, we are a tiny pale blue dot. And think of our solar system is nothing in our own galaxy. And there are gazillions of galaxies in our universe. And there could be billions of universes in this multiverse. Where is that scarcity? It's in our mindset that says people can only live on this spacecraft and there is no other spacecraft people can live on. What if people could live on a spacecraft called Moon or the Mars or the Titan or Europa? Who knows, right? The point is, the reason people believe something is not possible is because in their mind it's not possible. And when they believe something is not possible, it becomes impossible for them and no one else. And that to me is part of it, right? Other part of it is, don't look at the world as is. Look at the world, what it can be. Think of the world, what you want it to be. So don't look at, is this glass half empty or half full? Think about, do I want to fill this glass or not? And what would I fill this glass with? If you want to fill this glass, then it doesn't matter it's half empty or half full. And if you don't want to fill this glass, does it really matter it's half empty or half full? So you really focus on what you want rather than what it is, right? And, you know, to give you an example, people say, how can, you know, humans are just greedy. They will always fight over things. It doesn't matter how much we have. Until you remind ourselves, we remind ourselves and saying, you know, we're not greedy people. We live in this planet where we believe the air and the oxygen is in abundance. Guess what happens? All of us can sit in a stadium of 60,000 people and we never slap the guy next to us and say, hey, don't take my air.
Yeah, right.
Because we believe it's in abundance, right? What if energy was in abundance? Imagine. Just the solar energy, every 90 minutes, more solar energy falls on planet Earth than we use in the whole year. Just a matter of conversion. Someday, just like the aluminium used to be the most scarce resource until the technology, the electrolysis came about that made aluminium so cheap that we throw it away. What is the electrolysis of the solar energy that's going to make the solar energy so abundant that it's going to become the next air? That means it's going to become democratic. It's going to be free for everyone. And once you have a free energy, you can have a free fresh water. Because even the dirtiest water in Africa, if you have free energy, you can boil it and get a distilled water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, this is beautiful. Naveen, I have last couple questions for you.
Yeah.
But for people that want, you know, maybe that's the first time exposing themselves to you and the idea of moonshots, where can people kind of socially stalk you and follow you on your journey?
What I would do would be, Jay, I'm going to send you an email with an ebook called Moonshots. And if you can just let people download it, it talks about how to change your mindset, how to disrupt energy, education, healthcare. But most importantly, how do you think about a large problem when you're not an expert in the industry? How do you go about solving that problem, right? So that's one. But you can follow me on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook. And more importantly, if you have a specific question, send me an email. First, my first name, Naveen, N-A-V-E-E-N, dot last name, J-A-I-N, at gmail.com. I read all my emails. Send it to me. If there's anything I can do for you, just know I'm there for you.
Yeah. And truth be told, that is exactly how I got connected with Naveen. So don't be scared. I mean, it's amazing the knowledge. And I hope everyone's been taking notes and just sitting back and re-looking at the way that they operate, the way they see the world. But I have a couple questions for you.
Please.
Second to last one. You know, there's so many different industries that you're a part of, right? We talked about health. We talked about education. We've meant, you know, a slight mention of financial real estate. With the disruption that's happening, right? Yeah. As we enter, you know, 2018, as we look forward to 2020 and potentially a new decade, right? What are maybe some of the industries that you're keeping kind of a close eye on that you're like, this is going to be a really interesting showdown?
So interesting thing is, in the next 15 years, half of the Fortune 500 companies are going to go bankrupt. New king is going to be anointed. The king is going to be dead. And you're already starting to see the large companies, the retailers, and the companies that used to be around for hundreds of years are just completely going gone, right? Yeah. So the point is, whether it's a real estate industry, whether it is the automotive industry, every industry is going to be demolished with the tsunami of the exponential technologies. The artificial intelligence is going to eat the world, because no longer you will need to have the army of people doing things. And that can be now. That means the power can come right back to the United States, because the muscle power is no longer needed. What you need is the brain power, and the brain power we are abundant. We can create abundance of, because it can be digitized, right? Yeah. So tsunami of artificial intelligence is going to disrupt the healthcare industry forever. It's going to disrupt the education industry. It's going to disrupt the automotive industry. It's going to disrupt the real estate industry, the insurance industry. I mean, you name it, they're going to be demolished, right? And each of these technology individually and in convergence of them, right? So the robotics and the big data, the free computer processing power, the cheap sensors, right? The sensors that used to cost millions of dollars are now built into the iPhone as a giveaway. The phone, remember, people used to buy cameras. Yeah, Do you buy cameras anymore?
My girlfriend's a YouTuber, so we do, but I know what you mean, because the camera on the cell phone is better than some of the cameras we've bought in the past. Yeah. And it's incredible, and you can do the editing on the phone.
Exactly.
So, and that's just the beginning of it. That's just the touch, you know, of the tip of the iceberg, right?
Exactly.
So, that's fascinating. And, you know, for people that, I mean, pretty much what you're saying is buckle up for the adventure, because we are about to be on this roller coaster.
Either you're going to learn to ride the wave, or you're going to get crushed by the wave. So if I were you, I would just learn to ride this tsunami or wave that's coming. Just ride it, and you're going to be on the top of the world.
You know, Naveen, we have a lot of awesome guests that come on, but I think the way that you share your things, I mean, it's awesome, because it gets you to pause and it gets you to go, well, am I playing at that big level that I need to be playing at, right? Or am I just setting, you know, great goals from everybody's standards? And then achieving them, right? But you know you're not hitting the true capacity of your own potential.
Thinking big, right? Think so big that people think you're crazy, and never be afraid to fail, because you only fail when you give up. Everything else is just a pivot. Every idea that does not work is simply a stepping stone to a different idea and a bigger idea. So just don't give up. Keep adapting, keep modifying, and just keep dreaming so big. When you tell someone what you're going to be doing, people say, that's a freaking crazy idea.
Yeah, like half of Naveen's ideas. So Naveen, last question for you. The show itself, it's called The Inner Changemaker. Curious to hear from you. What words or pictures, what comes to your mind when you hear the word changemaker?
Inner happiness. To me, the word is, don't look for happiness from any trigger from outside. If you cannot find happiness inside, then you will never be able to find happiness from anything outside. Because anything that makes you happy has a remote control power to make you unhappy. So that if you find happiness from inside, then you can share that happiness with the world, and then you'll always be happy. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is not something that happens to you. When you wake up in the morning, and if you want to be happy, you can come up with 10 reasons why your life is so amazing. And if you want to be unhappy, you can come up with 10 reasons why your life absolutely sucks. Look at Larry Page flying in a 747 with the bedrooms in the plane, and my life just sucks flying in a first class, right? I mean, you can come up with 10 reasons, right, why your life sucks. Mm-hmm. Or you can come up with 10 reasons. God, look at the thing. Loving family, beautiful. You know, I got my whole, every part of my body still works. I am blessed.
And you know, Naveen, I want to take a few seconds just to acknowledge you. You know, from the first second that we hopped on, I felt that happiness. It had nothing to do with the business stuff. It had nothing to do with the visionary and all those things. But I mean, it plays, right? But I want to acknowledge you, because you really, I think, embody what a great visionary, someone who's pursuing the moonshots, someone who has that happiness, want to sharing it, and has that mission for multiple industries, and be able to share that with the world. So I applaud you, and I just honor you for coming on the show. Thank you.
I honor you, Jay, for giving me an opportunity, and honoring, you know, and I really believe that everyone who's listening to you should be thanking you, because you are able to go out and use your time, your energy, your efforts to bring the best to them. And they should be thanking you every day for that.
Well, Naveen, I appreciate and so much. I took a lot of notes, and I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? As I'm building my stuff, I was like, how can I play at a next level? So there's a lot of things that came out even for me at this interview. So I appreciate you, Naveen.
Thank you.
And everyone who's listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning in again. Remember, guys, it's not necessarily about changing the world on day one. It's really about becoming the best version of yourself, so that you can impact those around you, so that you could change the world by changing everyone around you and yourself. So thank you. Naveen, we'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, Changemakers, Jay here. Did you enjoy that episode? If I were you, I would listen to that episode again. I listened to this episode about 3 to 4 times, and I'll be honest, I rarely do that for any of my interviews. And the reason being is because it was so good in terms of elevating our thinking, in terms of everything he was talking about, in terms of disruption, in terms of education, in terms of the health. Now, as we talk about health, I know I mentioned something in the middle of the episode. In case you missed it, here is what I said. I'm going to invest in your health with you as long as you are willing to go the distance with me. Now, I know some of you are brand new listeners. Some of you have been listening for almost 200 freaking episodes, and I appreciate each and every single one of you. I'm massively grateful. And Naveen and I, after the interview, we had such a great conversation, and his company, Viome, does this microbiome testing. It does this gut health check. Once again, I'm not a health practitioner. I'm not a doctor. This is not even a health podcast, but you know how much I care about high performance. You know how much I care for us to step into the best version of ourselves. I think this is one of the ways for us to do it, for us to increase our knowledge. I want us to do it together. And so if you invest in the annual plan, which by the way is hyper economical, this is literally usually reserved for the hyper rich for tens of thousands of dollars. You can go ahead and check it out online. It is a free world, but let me promise you, you are not going to find a more economical option. I think we should definitely all do it. And heck, maybe if X amount of you do it and it's a big enough deal, maybe we'll just have Naveen on again, or maybe we'll just host like a private class with him. I don't know. I'm sure we can come up with something, but I would love to invest with you guys. If you want me to invest in you, invest in your health, I will PayPal you. I will give you $50 if you make the investment in the annual plan. Go back, listen to the microbiome part, the first part of the interview. Take a listen to what the offer is, viome.com/changemaker. That is viome.com/changemaker. And I hope to see you guys on the other side. We'll talk to you soon.